sandwich. Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We'll try and inform you and entertain you for the next 2 hours, coming to you live today from beautiful Southwest Florida, home of sandy beaches and blue waters and all that. And my, it is nice here today. And if you like to go swimming this time of year, why, the water in the Gulf is about 77, 78 degrees. So it's very nice, very, very nice. It'll get up a lot warmer than that. Sometimes the water in the summer actually gets up to 89 or 90, believe it or not. That's a little bit too warm, but that's bath water. Anyway, so much for swimming. Welcome to the show. As I always say, or as I said yesterday, no bouncing boobies on here, no calling any of the candidates big effing whores or anything like that. We're just going to have a rational discussion today, and if you'd like to join us, please do. You can call us at 866-546-5254. In about 20 minutes or so, we're going to have Isabel McDonald from FAIR. She's going to be with us to discuss this Pentagon propaganda that we've found out about, FAIR being Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and they've dug up all the skinny, along with the New York Times article, about the Pentagon propaganda that's been going on, to been subjecting the American public to that. I do want to start off the program today by doing something that I've been remiss in doing for a while now, and that is thanking everybody who has contributed to the program. And let me just do that now. Let me name some names here. I'd like to thank the Carlsons from over at up at King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. I always love the name of that, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. One of my favorite names of towns and cities and so forth. And John Gunn, a recent contributor to the program. Terrence Wincoop, been around with us for a long time, along with William Bow. He's been here for a long time. So is T. Kuhn, Anthony Tesson, John Dushku. Really appreciate all those folks. And Eric Peterson. My goodness, Eric Peterson has been along with us for a long, long time now. And so has Gina Gilbert Pollock and Preston Enright, Robert DeVale, Matt Blazer, James Watts, new contributor Ruby Thurman. Ruby, thank you so very much. We'd like to thank Neil Green, Betsy Markman. Betsy, thank you so much. Another longtime contributor, Gary Kuna, and Bill Allen. My goodness, Bill's been around a long time. Nancy Mrazek, been with us a long time, along with Leslie Alexander. So I do want to thank all of you folks for contributing to the program. It is much appreciated. It is very important so that we can continue on into this election year and keep doing what we do. I think what we do is important, and obviously some of you do as well. So, and if you would like to contribute to the program, please head on over to TheGuyJamesShow.com, and all the info for doing so will be on there. But once again, a big thank you to all you folks who have contributed to the program, and we appreciate it very, very much. Again, 866-546-5254. Gosh, went out for dinner with some relatives last night, and they came down from the north and brought some good Ohio beef along with them. Oh, we had T-bone steaks, and they were so good from the family farm. Very, very, very good. My goodness, I haven't had a good T-bone steak in a long, long time. The whole meal was good. Anyway, thanks to them for that. I know they're listening today. Also, I can't let this go. I can't let this go. I just can't. I know a lot of you are maybe Randy Rhoads fans. Maybe some of you switch back and forth between the programs, but man, this recent thing that she did about calling Hillary the name she did, I was incensed by the whole thing. And now she says yesterday, now I didn't hear this, but I've had about a half a dozen people send this to me. I looked everywhere for the audio, but I'll be damned if I'm going to subscribe to a network to get it. But I've had at least a half dozen people send me emails with the quote in it. Said that Randy Rhoads said yesterday, and I quote, "The Clinton campaign describes Hillary's voters as older, white, and undereducated, or as we call them in my neighborhood, white trash," end quote. Why? Why would you say that? Any reason to say something, any good reason to say something like that, calling the Hillary Clinton voters white trash, alienating half the party? Why would you do that, Randy? Why? It's a complete lack of class, total lack of class. But then, to be perfectly honest, I never accused you of having any class in the first place. And this just proves my point right here, calling the Hillary Clinton voters white trash. That's a pot calling the kettle black, if you ask me. Anyway, I had to mention that. If you don't like it, well, you know. But I did not like that. I see the Clinton campaign say they have raised $10 million. $10 million since that debate the other night. Do you suppose that's true? Can that be? $10 million in a little over 24 hours, they say. 60,000 donors, 50,000 of them new. That's what they're saying. Is it possible? That's half of what she raised in all of March, and now they're saying that she raised that much in 24 hours, which all the pundits were saying was absolutely necessary, that she had to raise money, and I agree. If she's going to carry on, she had to raise money. But what I'm wondering is how has Hillary convinced everybody to dig in and pitch in money to the campaign when it, you know, let's be honest here. It looks like the odds are heavily stacked against her. I mean, heavily stacked against her, unless they know something I don't know. And they may well. But how do you get all those people to throw in for the first time when the odds are so heavily stacked against you right now? Just seemed like a monumental task. And yet they've done it. $10 million, and if that's accurate. Now, the only word we have to trust on that is the word of the Hillary Clinton campaign. But, you know, there are records of campaign finances, so I imagine if they say they've raised $10 million, they probably have. Wow. I wonder if Hillary dug into her bank account again. I wonder if she paid back $5 million she loaned her own campaign here a while back? Did she pay that back? I suppose. I'd want to be getting that back right away. I sure would. Oh, hey, and I did want to mention, too, you know Junior Bush, that show Deal or No Deal on NBC with Howie Mandel? Bush was on it the other night. They had a soldier on there, an Iraq War veteran. I don't know whether he was a Marine or soldier. I can't remember which he was. I think he was in the Army, a soldier. But he was on there trying to win some money. Played a pretty stupid game, by the way. But anyway, They had him on there Monday night, and don't you know, Junior Bush taped a message for this contestant. His name was Captain Joseph Cobes, I don't know, and to thank him for his service and to wish him well on the show. And don't you know, that particular episode of that show had it tied for its lowest performance of any of their shows. So Bush came on there and said he was happy to be any place that had good ratings, and don't you know, that particular show had the lowest ratings it's ever had, a tie for it. Poor Junior. Poor Junior. Just can't win for losing, can he? And we have this bizarre story coming out of Chicago, and it is bizarre. Did you see this about this Republican candidate for Congress by the name of Tony Zirkel? He's a Republican candidate for Congress. I forget which district it is. But he gets up and speaks to a Nazi group. And then he says, well, he didn't know. Now, there's the picture and the video of him standing in front of a big, huge portrait of Adolf Hitler, and Nazi swastika is hanging on the wall, big flags, and all the guys sitting at the table with him are wearing armbands with the swastikas on, and he says, gee, I didn't know that those guys were Nazis. and the Republican Party came out and said, well, that's repulsive. That's just repulsive. We're not backing this guy. We're not backing this guy at all. He's no Republican. But let me remind you. And I'm not to make an association between Republicans and Nazis here. I'm just telling you like it is. This guy, whom the Republicans say isn't a Republican, we need to remember that just a couple of years ago, he ran in the Republican primary there and got 30% of the Republican vote. So, and that's after he was calling for the return of the guillotine. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting sometimes when you see who some of these folks are affiliated with. But there he is, standing behind, you know, the Führer standing right behind him in his big portrait. I mean, you couldn't have missed it. you couldn't have missed it. Not if you had Coke bottle glasses, you couldn't have missed it. And you couldn't have missed all those guys sitting there with armbands with the swastikas and the big Nazi flags. I mean, it was... It was an awesome sight. Google that name. What's that name again? Tony Zirkel. Tony Zirkel. I don't have a link to it right now, but Google Tony Zirkel. I think you can find this maybe over at... I don't know. I'm so bad about remembering websites. Crooks and Liars, maybe? Yeah, try it over there. Or MyDD. I'm not sure. Anyway, talking to a friend today, and we were talking about flying, and talked to another acquaintance up at in Washington today, and they were talking on the phone to me while they were riding the metro, and it just made me wonder, and I know a lot of you may live in rural areas, maybe not heavily populated, but a lot of you live in urban areas as well. And air travel is getting to be expensive again, and it's going to continue to get more expensive. And it's difficult, too. Not so much where I live. We have the most wonderful airport in the world getting in and out of here, Southwest Regional Airport. Just a great new airport. Can't imagine anyone being any better. But it's getting difficult to fly. New prices, some of them starting to charge a lot for pets, starting to charge a lot for extra luggage. Changing your ticket fees are going up. They're just nickel and diming everybody to death. Actually, it's not nickels and dimes anymore. And, you know, you got them being late, they're off schedule, canceled. You know all the problems that have happened lately, all that big disaster with American Airlines just a while ago. And it's been a problem for quite a while, and periodically it gets so bad that the media gets all excited about it, and you see all the stories about it in the media, and Junior Bush even made a statement about it recently. But since Junior is a complete oaf, it apparently hasn't occurred to him, or all of our legislators, as a matter of fact, most all of them, to get behind a renewal, if you will, of the passenger rail system. And if you want to see the perfect example of it, it is the Metro in the Washington, D.C. area. My, oh my. I mean, you talk about a great rail service. It's just phenomenal. And I know some of the people up there that probably have to ride it every day and get sick of riding the train. But I'm telling you, that's the best system that I have ever seen. There may be better ones in other countries, but there certainly is no better one in this country. Absolutely not. And it's cheap. It's efficient. And just think, I mean, I think every time I go to Washington, for example, I think, God, how many cars would have to be downtown if it weren't for that metro? And we're forsaking that idea all around the country. There's so many places in this country that we could have rail transportation, passenger trains, and we're going to have to go back to them. The airline industry is slowly dying, and it's going to price average Joe right out of the market, and aviation fuel is out of sight, and they're not going to be running the airplanes on biodiesel or used French fry oil like some of this, you know, be able to do with trains or cars or whatever. So it's time to start talking about rail transportation, and it's just something I was talking about today with some friends, and I thought it was worth mentioning. I just think we had one planned here for Southwest Florida, for Florida, and the voters even passed it, and then the Jeb Bush administration squelched it and said that we couldn't be spending the money there, we needed someplace else. So if you get a chance and get a chance to look into that issue and maybe talk to your legislator about it, it's something that's going to have to be done someplace in the near future. We're just going to have to get to it. There isn't any question about that. 866-546-5254. We'll be getting a hold of our guest here in just a moment or two, Isabel McDonald from FAIR. And we're going to talk about this Pentagon propaganda operation that, it's a filthy, filthy deal that they've pulled on the American public. And it's the height of deceit and deception, and we'll talk about that with Isabel McDonald in just a couple of minutes. So in the meantime, we are going to let's just take a short break while we get a hold of our guest, and we'll be back in a minute. So the feeling grows. And we're back with you here on the Guy James Show today. Thanks for joining us, coming to you live today from beautiful Southwest Florida and streaming all around the country and all around the world. And as promised, we have our guest on the line with us now. We have Isabel McDonald from FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Isabel, welcome to the program.
It's great to be on, Guy.
Good. Are we loud and clear?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. We're hearing you just fine, too, just like you were sitting in the studio with us. And I appreciate you joining us very much today, representing FAIR, and wanted to talk to you, of course, about what I think is one of the most important stories to come out in a long time, and that's the story that you folks covered, and the New York Times covered it fairly well, too, about the Pentagon pundits and this massive propaganda effort by the Bush administration to, as it were, make a silk purse out of a sow's ear with this Iraq war.
Yes. So I don't know how many of your listeners actually got a chance to read the article in the New York Times on Sunday, on April 20th. It was a very long article published in part on the front page of the New York Times, and it documented a Pentagon program by which over 75 retired generals had been recruited by the Pentagon to act as what the Pentagon referred to as message force multipliers in support of the Bush administration's policies in Iraq, in support of the war.
That's some wording right there, message support multipliers.
Message force multipliers.
Force multipliers.
Yeah. And this was reported in the Times with a lot of detail about the wording of the memos that had been sent between people working in the Pentagon. And they had extensive interviews with the generals, the retired generals who had participated in this program. And some of the key things that came to light in the Times investigation were the extent to which the generals saw themselves as participating in this Pentagon information operation targeting the American population. So there was one general who reported that he had actually asked the Pentagon whether there were things that he should downplay or things that the U.S. government wanted him to emphasize, and then that was what he was then going on air, and these generals, or anyone who was watching either cable or broadcast network newscasts in the lead up to the Iraq War, or who has been watching these newscasts over the course of the 5 years that the war has been going on now, these retired generals are a fixture of TV coverage, TV news coverage of the war. And so a lot of the time we were seeing the military analysis being provided by these, what is now revealed to be participants in a Pentagon propaganda campaign. And so the other thing, besides the fact that the generals were really feeding information that came directly from the generals were feeding information directly from the Pentagon that they were given in Pentagon briefings to the American public via TV news. The other thing that came to light is the extent to which these retired generals were really in bed with large weapons contractors, mm-hmm. military contractors. According to the Times, these retired generals who were part of the Pentagon campaign represent more than 150 military contractors, either as lobbyists, senior executives, board members, or consultants. So this is a real problem in terms of conflicts of interest, because we didn't hear, when we were watching these generals providing analysis of the war on newscasts, we didn't hear about these other ties that they had that gave them a direct financial stake in the war policies that they were being asked to provide expertise on. So this is another really alarming thing that came out of the Times report.
And some of these guys, everybody will remember some of these names. Of course, one of them's passed away, Wayne Downing, Barry McCafferty, people that you've seen hundreds of times. We're not talking about a few isolated cases here. We're literally talking about hundreds, maybe even thousands of media stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, this is so it's obviously, just in terms, just picking up on Barry McCaffrey, who you just mentioned, who we saw often on NBC, providing analysis, and I mean he's been all over the place for years now in the media as a commentator, as a what is referred to as a military analyst, and he is one of the people who participated in this program, and. What's interesting about figures like him is that we also, years before the Times article came out, back in 2003, The Nation magazine had actually reported on how people like McCaffrey did have ideological and financial stakes in the war. And McCaffrey at one point, I mean, this was probably a great example of the kind of conflict of interest that some of these figures had. McCaffrey had been on the board of a company that had been selling it's called IDT, which had been receiving multi-million-dollar contracts to sell tanks to the U.S. military and these Bradley fighting vehicles, and he had actually plugged these in his commentary on MSNBC, and this is a direct quote. He told viewers, "Thank God for the Abrams tank and the Bradley fighting vehicle." So this is somebody who is selling, who is part of a company that is selling pieces of military hardware, and did the viewers know that he had this conflict of interest? No, because MSNBC never told us.
And MSNBC is trying to feign ignorance that they knew anything about his military-industrial complex ties, aren't they? They're saying, "Oh, gee, we didn't know."
Yeah. Well, the amazing thing is that they were actually confronted about this back in 2003 by the journalists from The Nation who had broken this story, and they had said that they did not actually have an interest in whatever military contracts their analysts might also have. So, I mean, it's shocking the way that the networks have really failed and the cable companies have really failed to investigate these conflicts of interest.
And how about the Pentagon? Are they innocent in this about knowing about the ties to the lobbyists and the military suppliers?
Well, actually, the reputation that has made some of these TV military analysts so effective in securing contracts is their access to these top Pentagon officials. So it's because they, as military analysts, they have a privileged access to the government, to the government figures who are feeding them information that they're then offering up to the public as military analysts. But that access at the same time is very, very useful for military contractors who then seek out these very TV military analysts to help them secure contracts, because the access that the military analysts have to the government figures can also, not only is it a source of information that makes them these star military pundits on TV, but it's also very lucrative for military contractors.
So in other words, to boil it all down to the bottom line here is, hey, boys, the Pentagon saying, hey, boys, you go out and tell our version of things, our version of this propaganda when we get out, and we'll help you stuff your pockets with cash.
Well, that's essentially, there was no memo that came to light saying exactly that, but that's the way that it worked. And And there was certainly a penalty if any of these former generals broke ranks from the Pentagon and said something critical about the war or asked questions that the Pentagon found inconvenient, they would very quickly lose access. And that's another thing that came to light through the New York Times article. So obviously that would have implications for their capacity to secure military contracts.
So you can, as an ex-military official, and you're working for a lobbyist on K Street, you can tell one of your potential clients, hey, I've got Donald Rumsfeld's ear. I'm having a meeting with him tomorrow. I'm getting on a plane and flying to Guantanamo with some of the other generals, ex-generals and so forth. So believe me, I've really got inside access, and that's going to command top buck, isn't it?
Yeah, that is exactly how it worked. This conflict, it's an interesting kind of a conflict of interest because it really, it fed the access that the general, ex-generals had to the government, really directly helped them to secure contracts. And what's also interesting, and this actually was first reported by The Nation magazine, what they would often be paid per TV appearance, and the more TV appearances that they had, the more desirable they would become to military contractors, who would then recruit them to serve on their board or whatever, to be involved in the securing of contracts. So the TV networks were helping to promote these figures as potential candidates for the military contractors. So, I mean, the whole thing is just very, very intertwined. And then you look at who owns some of these large TV networks, like NBC. It's owned by General Electric, mm-hmm. which is itself a major defense contractor. So, it's a mess in which the media is very closely entwined with the military-industrial complex.
Oh, absolutely,
and so at this point.
And so the networks use these people to get ratings, and the networks make money. The commentators are making money, both getting paid by the networks and getting paid by their whoever they're lobbying for. And the military-industrial complex is making money. Everybody's making money here, and the public is getting a load of BS.
Yeah, but what we found quite interesting about at FAIR, in terms of the way that the New York Times framed this article, was that it was a phenomenal investigative piece. It was a really, really great piece of journalism. But the conclusion that the New York Times came to was that there had been here a real breach of the standard of traditional journalism practices, where you have the media outlets who are helping the Pentagon propaganda campaign inadvertently through having all these generals, TV military analysts who are working for the Pentagon. The New York Times saw this as something really out of the ordinary, given how traditional journalism is supposed to work. But what we have found at FAIR is actually that what the Pentagon did was rather what you'd expect them to do. They are trying to get the best possible spin for their side of the war story, which is in support of the war, and they're trying to use whatever means they can legally to do that. So they're not acting in a way that we would not expect in terms of the Pentagon.
Let me ask you this. Let me break in and ask you this. The Pentagon wants to get the best light put on everything. Why not just have the truth be there? What does the Pentagon stand to gain if they're glossing something, making something look nice, and when in fact it's pretty doggone ugly? What do they stand to gain?
Well, I think you need to look at how where we actually saw, and I'm just going back to the Times article, where we saw the Pentagon actually using the generals to misinform the public. First off, I think probably the most significant example was there was a briefing that the ex-generals had with people from the Pentagon, where they were actually told that the Pentagon had no evidence that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This was in late 2003. And the generals ex-generals dutifully did not report this, right? Which was, I mean, hugely significant in terms of, if you think about the responsibility of the media to inform the public about policies, especially policies that have led the nation into such a costly and deadly war. The failure of the generals to question this line or to report this information that they had access to is really pretty disappointing. And the reliance, the decision by the media to rely on these obviously really corrupt sources of information for their analysis about the war also really speaks very negatively about the role of the media here.
Well, it does, and I think that's our major problem. The media performance during this whole episode has been just abysmal.
Yeah, and this is something that we've really been trying to drive home at FAIR, is that what this speaks to is not, if we're going to assign blame, and there are, certainly the efforts of the Pentagon to misinform the American public are shocking and should be condemned. But at the same time, it's only because the media made a decision. All of these networks that had these ex-generals on repeatedly giving commentary and analysis about the war, they made a decision to have these figures who they knew from in the first instance were going to be very uncritical of the conduct of the war, and they chose to have them as the prime analysts who would be talking about the war. And the Pentagon program, the Pentagon would not have been able to get out its message. These generals, ex-generals, would not have actually been so-called message force multipliers if it had not been for the networks that were deciding to have them featured on all these different, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of newscasts about the Iraq war. So the TV networks, both cable and the broadcast networks, really facilitated this propaganda through their decision to rely so heavily on these ex-generals. And what we saw was that there was a very conscious effort on the part of some of the top executives to make this decision. And there was actually, in the run-up to the Iraq invasion, CNN's former chief news executive, Ethan Jordan, actually said that he went to the Pentagon himself, this is the direct quote, several times before the war started and met with important people there and said, for instance, at CNN, here are the generals we're thinking of retaining to advise us on the air and off about the war, and we got a big thumbs up on all of them. That was important. So the question really needs to be asked, why was it that it was important to the TV networks and to the cable networks to get a thumbs up on the generals, these ex-generals that they were having as their prime military analysts on a lot of their segments about Iraq? Why was it important that they got a thumbs up from the Pentagon? And isn't it the media that really ultimately bears the responsibility for this disaster of what has come to light in
Absolutely.
Terms of how the American public was fed propaganda?
They owe the American public much more than that the media does. And some of these people, one of the major players in it was John Garrett. And Garrett even was so anxious to please. He even, in some of these eight or ten thousand email pages that the Times got a hold of, he actually said in one of them in an email, "Please let me know if you have any specific points you want covered that you would prefer to downplay."
Absolutely, yeah. In It's just appalling that.
Do you think from a network standpoint, you know, FAIR's been looking into things like this for a long time, and perhaps this isn't a fair question for you, but is there any conclusions drawn by your organization or others that with the networks, with the media doing such a poor job on this, either accidentally or intentionally, is it ideology or is it financial?
Well, I think it's really a confluence of both. If you have a network like NBC that is owned by a major weapons contractor, it would be quite surprising if they were to act as a force to hold the government accountable for lies that lead the country into war, and if they gave a really prominent place to anti-war advocates, I think that would certainly be against their financial interests. So I think that is one factor. And then I think that the other, in terms of the question of ideology, what we saw in the lead up to the Iraq War was that there was an absolute blackout on anti-war views.
Yes.
Represented in the media. Studies that we did in the lead up to the war showed very clearly that the anti-war voices were marginalized. Most of the people who were brought on the air by the TV networks to comment on what was going on in Iraq were government officials, these retired generals. And I think that speaks to an ideological dimension within the media that keeps out critical voices and that leads to a really disproportionate reliance on the kinds of pro-war advocates that we see in these ex-generals. There was a telling comment that was made back in 1999 during the NATO bombing of Kosovo. To Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now, who interviewed a prominent executive from, I believe it was from CNN. So it was CNN Vice President Frank Cessna. And Amy Goodman was grilling him on it's a long-standing pattern of anytime America goes into war, we see these ex-generals marched onto the TV screen to provide an analysis, and peace activists are completely marginalized. And so she was asking Frank Cessna about this, and he explained, well, generals are analysts, and peace activists are advocates.
So yeah.
I think that speaks to a real bias in the thinking of the people who are making decisions about who Americans see on their TV screens to provide analysis about the war and the different kinds of platforms that are provided to people based on their ideology. I mean, what we saw with these generals that were reported on in the New York Times article is that several of them were actually involved with pro-war advocacy groups, groups that had long advocated for an invasion of Iraq. And furthermore, they had these extraordinarily compromised relationships with military lobbyists and defense contractors. So you can't just call them analysts. They're advocates who have
certainly are
deep financial stakes in war. And the fact that a high up at CNN could say this, I think, really speaks to a profound error in the way that the media assesses who are independent sources who should be brought on to talk about matters of war.
Oh, and they should be ashamed for not vetting these people, at least if they do know about their associations with the lobbyists and so forth. And this, the Pentagon is really proud of their work in this. This her name escapes me now. Clark, I believe it was, lady that was ahead of this program at the Pentagon. She actually told him, you know, hey, this is working. This is working. This is great. You know, she was. They were really proud that they were snowing the American public on this.
Yeah, and I believe it was her who gave the example of how she knew it was working, that she could turn on the TV, and on every single channel, she would see the participants in their propaganda campaign talking on ABC, NBC, CNN. And that was the measure of success. But that wasn't accomplished by the Pentagon alone. That was accomplished with at least as much participation by the media.
Right. The Pentagon doesn't have a media machine. And it's worth mentioning also that one of the first things that David Petraeus did when he was appointed to be the commander in Iraq was to meet with these analysts, wasn't it?
Yes.
And we wonder, and people wonder why that people looked with a jaundiced eye at some of the things that he has said. I mean, I'm not accusing him of necessarily lying or all that, but you know, when you've got the commander over there meeting with these analysts that they know are conducting a propaganda campaign, it just doesn't look good.
No, it certainly doesn't. Yeah, and of course this comes in the wake of other scandals involving pro-war propaganda planted by the Pentagon in Iraq, like paying columnists to write favorably about the administration.
Sure.
Distributing fake news segments to TV stations, and also making covert payments to Iraqi newspapers to publish coalition propaganda. So, I mean, what's shocking about this is that in the case of this program, it wasn't, the Pentagon didn't even need to publish its own propaganda. The American media did it on the Pentagon's behalf, willingly, not knowing, of course, the extent to which this was an organized propaganda campaign that the generals it was hiring as its commentators were. They didn't know the extent to which these activities were propaganda activities going on behind the scenes. But at the same time, it was the media that really delivered this to the American public.
Well, your organization has worked very hard at trying to bring the light of truth on subjects, to get the press to do the job, the media to do their job the way they're supposed to. We've talked about this here for the past few minutes and told of the effects of what's going on. What's the solution? The way FAIR sees it, what can we do about this?
Well, I think the first step. In this case, the New York Times article provides a real opening, because people suddenly, in a very prominent newspaper, we see the extent to which this propaganda campaign has been going on, and it provides a real opportunity to call on the TV network to take action to make sure that this is not allowed to continue, to make sure that this never happens again. So if people want to visit FAIR's website, we actually have an action alert that is up right now. So if you just go to www.fair.org, www.fair.org, fair.org, and you check out our action alert called Pentagon Pundit. And we have on there our contact information for the cable networks and the broadcast networks that carried this Pentagon misinformation. And I would really encourage people to get in touch with these media outlets and tell them what you think about this. And we're suggesting that people tell them, we need them to take action to ensure that the news will no longer serve as a conduit for Pentagon talking points passed off as independent analysis. And I think that the very first thing that the media outlets are going to have to start doing, if we're going to see any change, is to expand the range of independent sources to provide commentary on the war on news programs. So that's the first step. Ultimately, I think that if you have the media controlled by very large corporations who also have stakes in the war machine, we're not going to see fundamental change until we massively reform the media so that it serves democracy and serves as a source of independent information that can help people make decisions to participate in a democracy. Because right now we're very, very far from that.
We certainly are, and it goes back to the old movie, to put our heads out the window and yell, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take this anymore. If we can't trust the media, if we've gotten to that point where we just can't, and lately it appears to me that we cannot, we're in a lot of trouble in this country, and we need an organization like yours to help bring it back to what it's supposed to be, to understand what their real mission is, to keep the public informed of the truth. Isabel, I want to thank you so much for being on the program, for taking time out to be with us today. Again, that's fair.org. Fair.org. It can't get any more simple than that. It's a great site. They've got their What's New, the archives. You can read on there forever, and you should. It's an obligation of every citizen to try and hold the media's feet to the fire, and nobody does it better than Fair. Isabel, thank you so much. Isabel McDonald.
Thank you very much.
Isabel McDonald from Fair. That is a great website, by the way. Maybe some of you already read it a lot. I try and read it at least once a week and see what's new on there. But we're in trouble. We are in trouble. And yes, this was a massive propaganda. And I urge you to please go to the last Sunday's New York Times. It's NewYorkTimes.com, 2008/4/20, Washington, and read this article. It is a great article. Every citizen in this country should read this article and understand what is going on. Now, I know most of my listeners understand that we've been fed a line of crap for a long time now. We know that. But I don't think anybody understands just how intricate and complex this effort has been. It has been intentional. It has been from day one, starting this war before it started. It has been a stream that's turned into a river of lies and propagandas coming from this administration and coming from the Pentagon with the administration's blessing. And it is something that if this country is to prosper and stay alive and flourish, and if our Constitution is to stay alive, we have got to do something about this, because this will not stand. Our country will not survive if the press goes down the tubes and becomes a tool, becomes an arm, a propaganda arm of a rogue administration. We will not survive that. We will not. The media has been woefully lacking in their responsibilities during this occupation of Iraq. Woefully lacking. How many stories have you seen on the war on terror? The propaganda that you have seen. It's incredible. So I do urge you to go to fair.org, read their great article on it called Pentagon Pundits, and that might even lead you over to the New York Times article. I'm not sure, but they've got the contact information on there: ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox. Of course, Fox is the most egregious violator of this. Fox had these analysts on more than anybody. They've been just absolutely blatant the way they've done this. Thomas McInerney, he's with the Army, or was with the Army. He's been affiliated with the Air Force. Ezanil Incorporated, GRIT company, the Nortel Government Solutions, this John Garrett, has been on Fox News I don't know how many times. He's a lobbyist with HESCO, MI Products. He's been a senior military advisor. He's with Patton Boggs, LLP, and he's been a military analyst for Fox News. William Cowan. He's with this WVC3 group. All of these guys pocketing money from going on TV and feeding a load of bull to the American public. Things that they knew were not true. They knew it. And some of them even recognized it after a while. They would go to Iraq and they'd be fed a line of bull after they saw the truth with their own eyes, and they said, hey, this is not good. Some of them went ahead and fed the propaganda to the public anyway, and some of them had a conscience. Some of them have seen the light. But do understand, when you're watching any of these networks, Fox most especially, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, all of them are guilty. Had these guys on promoting war. One of the most absurd comments I saw out of the whole thing. Let me see here if I can find where it was. I had this. Probably not. But, you know, they talked about it and said, well, I only said this when it was... when it wasn't specific to the war. Well, everything they said was specific to promoting this war. Everything they said and did. Jeff McCloslin, a CBS military analyst and defense industry lobbyist, said they kept their networks informed of their outside work and recused themselves from coverage that touched on business interest. Well, tell me something. Doesn't every minute of this war touch on business interest? Isn't something being sold every minute? A product, a service, the privatization of so many things in the military now, isn't there something being sold every single minute? He said, oh, well, I recused myself from coverage that touched on business interests. Yeah, right. This entire story is one of the most ugly chapters in this whole Bush administration, and it's something that has to stop. It must. We simply cannot continue on having the press lie to us, have the press, the Pentagon with the blessing and the help, tremendous help of the media in this country, manipulating the American public into doing whatever it is that the White House wants done. That's not how a democracy works. It's not how a republic works. It's not how the Constitution works. It's not how our founding fathers set things up to be. It's completely out of control, and we are slowly but surely losing our country. And there are those that would say, oh, you're purveyors of doom and gloom and all that. Hey, you can see it before your eyes. I'm not saying the media has never been biased. I'm not saying the media has never pushed stories that they knew weren't true. That's happened. But there's never been a more concentrated effort to do this than is being done. And it's still being done. This is not to say that this was a program that was ongoing and is now stopped. Oh, no. Not at all. This is continuing as we speak. So the time has come for you to rise up and do go to fair.org and look up the addresses of the media. A lot of you already have them. And let's send in a storm of protest over this, because this is a huge story. A huge story. These people have been caught with their pants down. And really, if the media doesn't, if some of us don't grab this story and run with it and make some noise, nobody else is going to. Certainly the media that's promoted this all along is not going to say anything about it. They haven't so far, and they're not about to start. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you live here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be back. right after the news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. American Axle's corporate annual meeting is underway today as UAW strikers, threatened with plant closures by the company, continue to walk the picket lines. GM is curtailing production at two more auto plants because it can't get parts from American Axle. Roughly 48,000 GM workers have been affected by the strike. That's half their workforce. American Axle is trying to slash wages in half and abolish future retiree pensions and health care benefits. UAW striker Chris Workman says this is a fight for good American jobs.
We are losing jobs at a fast rate, and if we don't stop, this country is going to go into a recession and a continued recession because the jobs are not going to be here to keep buying the products anymore. NAFTA is killing this country.
The AFL-CIO and six Guatemalan unions are filing a first-of-its-kind complaint alleging violations of the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Filed with the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Trade and Labor Affairs, the complaint details five specific cases where the Guatemalan government has failed to protect workers' labor rights. The AFL-CIO says violence against union activists, including murder and rape, have actually escalated since the Central American Free Trade Agreement was implemented. Security guards for MGM Mirage in Las Vegas are seeking union representation, and the company is fighting back. Jesse Russell reports.
The last time security guards at Nevada's largest casino company sought union representation was 13 years ago. That attempt was defeated when the company offered guards many of the items they would have sought when organized. Now the guards are once again seeking representation, this time by the International Union of Security, Police, and Fire Professionals of America, alleging unsafe staffing levels, low pay, and inadequate training. The union has filed unfair labor practice charges against MGM Mirage, saying the company is offering benefits and promotions to guards that vote against the union. The National Labor Relations Board plans to investigate the charges. MGM Mirage owns numerous hotels in Las Vegas, including Luxor, Mandalay Bay, and the Mirage.
Robert Perlman, CEO of the Diabetes Research Institute Foundation, says AFL-CIO building and construction trade unions provide millions of dollars in critical support for diabetes research.
They've donated over $40 million through the years.
Perlman recently met with union political lobbyists to try to deal with cuts in government funding for diabetes research.
To see if we could help forestall or cut some of that funding.
Life expectancy in the U.S. has dropped for women. For 12% of the women in the U.S., life expectancy is now shorter than the 1980s, with the majority of the drop coming in the Deep South and the lower Midwest. That drop is most prevalent in low-income and rural areas, and the main culprits suggested by the study are poor diets, lack of exercise, and smoking. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this
is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show, live program coming to you from beautiful Fort Myers, Naples, Florida area. Yes, indeed. Give us a call, 866-546-5254. We'd love to hear from you. And speaking of telephones, let's head on over to the phone right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
Thank you for that interview. And I have a couple of things I'd like to say about it.
Sure.
To me, there's two things with these people. They've sold their souls, and I believe they're treasonous, too.
They certainly are. I don't think there's any question about it. When you know you're going out and telling lies to the public.
And especially, you know, it is so greedy. You know, they could make money without involving our troops.
Well, sure.
That makes it even more egregious to me.
It certainly does. It certainly does. When you stop and think of 4,040-some soldiers now of our military personnel been killed.
And look
people.
At the ones that their lives have been
maimed
forever.
Yes.
For the worse.
Yes.
And you know, it's just completely. I really believe that they are treasonous.
I do. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I certainly do. Those of us that opposed this were called that to start the war, anti-American,
oh, yeah.
All that. But now we're finding out who. Who's what in this country, and
anybody that was sell out for money,
yes,
at the expense of other people who have no choice in the matter.
Well, the 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah. I'd like to say this too, that I have noticed in the past that like I used to be a fan of Lou Dobbs for a while. I thought he was really for the little man.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed this the whole time in watching his show that he would have talk show hosts on, and there would be sort of a variety of people. But he had the same general or whoever, you know, on. And you could see the little wheels clicking around in this general's head every time something would come out against the war.
Yeah.
And he'd always twist it around.
Sure.
I noticed that.
It's really rare they had anybody on their military personnel that would tell the truth. Very rare.
And it would be the same one. And then also he had the same political experts. He had like a group of five or six. It'd be the same ones. And the Democrat was strictly a blue dog, you know. And so I noticed that about even Lou Dobbs. You know, even I watched it, but I could see that for myself.
Lou's become a one-trick pony lately.
Yes.
If it's not about immigration, he doesn't want to talk about it. Oh,
curious.
I'm tired of hearing it from him. Really.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to now because I don't get CNN anymore. But one more thing I'd like to tell you about. I sent you an email about we may have some body running against Adam Putnam.
We're working on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I read it, and he's still getting out of service, so he can't really campaign, so I don't know if he could be on your show or not.
Okay.
I mean, maybe he could, but I like what I've read about him.
We've got a request in about that, so we'll know something very, very shortly on that. I thank you for that.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have somebody that's got some ideas instead of just running on family values?
Oh, Adam Putnam, for those of you, the rest of the people listening, I'm sure they know who Adam Putnam is, a congressman there in Florida. One of the most repugnant one of them of all.
I would like to have a Democrat representing me for a while, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for that, and I didn't know about that site.
Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it very much, Juanita.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Do look that up on the New York Times, Sunday's New York Times. We'll try and put a post up on if maybe somebody on the chat room already has. I haven't been paying attention here. Those of you listening on various places, on iTunes and so forth, stop in and pay a visit to the chat room, Head On Radio Network chat room. Sign up. It only takes a minute. Doesn't cost anything. It's free. They're not going to ask you for your life story or anything. It's safe and secure and all that. So just sign up and join the good people on there. See, we got some people. Other than the example, we got Elo up there. We got Jersey, Lemon 314, Powerpuff, Suzanne. Just a great group on there. And of course, you can talk about anything you want to. You don't have to talk about show, but it's always fun to get together with the folks. It is. How do you feel? How do you gals feel about John McCain and the Republicans voting down this no equal pay for women? How do you feel about that? McCain didn't even vote. Let's put it that way. He didn't think it was worth his time to go in and vote. He says he would have voted no. So let's get that straight right off the bat. On a bill that would have repaired damage done by our distinguished Supreme Court Justice Alito in this Ledbetter case. Republican John McCain, campaigning through poverty-stricken cities and towns, said Wednesday he opposes a Senate bill that seeks equal pay for women because it would lead to more lawsuits. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want the women to get the equal pay. God forbid that women should get equal pay for doing the same thing that guys do. We wouldn't want that. Oh, no. Let's not get something like that started. Let's not let the old white guys continue to, you know, give up any more of their control over things. No. Let's keep them women in their place. Yes, sir. Let's pay them less than the guys do. Let's keep them women and them coloreds and all them other people. Let's keep them down there where they belong. Yeah. Why, who do these women think they are wanting equal pay? Ha! Ha! If that ain't something, next thing you know, they're going to want to smoke and vote and stuff like that. Drink liquor. Why, them women. Them women don't deserve no equal pay to us men. Why, think of all the jobs they're taking away from the men out there. They ought to be home cooking and cleaning and stuff. Why, that just grabs my behind when I hear stuff like that to them women. Why, who's going to do the laundry and who's going to cook my dinner and have it on the table when I get home and equal pay for women? Come on. Come on. Whoever thought up such a damn fool idea as that? Equal pay for women. Well, I never. Anyway, the Republicans managed to kill that bill. Senate Republicans killed the bill Wednesday night on a 56-42 vote that denied the measure the 60 votes needed to advance it to a full debate. They did it with a filibuster. Oh, what a novel idea. A filibuster. I believe it's something like 68 times they've had their way with the filibuster. 68 times. during this Democratic, so-called Democratic Congress. Yeah. They've blocked more bills with this than any other Congress that I know of. In fact, I think it was Debbie Stabenow standing on the Senate floor today with a big sign behind her that said 68. Yeah, well, that's what it was for. Now, somebody says on it, Lilo 36 says on the chat room, she hoped my wife didn't hear that, what I just said about them women supposed to be cooking and cleaning and ironing my clothes and stuff. Wives are just like Al Bundy. When I get down, you know, get out of the studio, lock the studio afterwards and go home, there better be a dead animal on that table of some kind. Yes, sir. What? Women, equal pay. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, don't forget, all you gals, if anybody's thinking about voting for them, they're Republicans, remember what they think of you. Do remember what they think of you. And do remember who fought tooth and nail against equal rights. Don't you anybody forget that. I don't know how anybody could ever forget that. How could they ever forget it? I'll never forget it. Now, I'm not a woman or of a different color. You know, that just irritates me. That it really does. I hope I've never been accused of being a misogynistic... what's the other name for it? I can't think of it. I hope I've never been accused of that. Because I have great respect for women. I didn't mind... picking Hillary Clinton for president one bit. I don't even think about that. I don't even think about Barack Obama being a different race. I don't even think about it. I can't get over the emphasis that's been put on both of them. I mean, I understand it. I do understand it, but it's just frustrating. It's just absolutely frustrating. Well, there's been a lot of comments about politics here the last couple of days. And, of course, Bill Clinton, he had to have his say about it.
Hillary was outspent on television 3-1 by almost $8 million. And she won anyway by 10 points.
Yeah, well, Bill, that's Bill's always got to get his 2 cents in on there. And, of course, Hillary's taking advantage of her victory in Pennsylvania to try and raise a buck or two.
I would really welcome a contribution because we are being outspent. And in Pennsylvania, somewhere around 3.5-1, we really had to hustle. You know, my opponent is formidable.
He is formidable. And, of course, they're wanting, as I understand it, have canceled the debate in South Carolina, and Hillary wants to have a debate. Of course, when you're the underdog, you want to have the debate.
We've only had 4 debates between the two of us. We had a lot of debates before that, but just 4 between the two of us.
Just 4, and Hillary Clinton certainly wants another one. And Barack, of course, stating his case for why he should win.
We think that if at the end we end up having won twice as many states and having the most votes, then we should end up being the nominee.
And one would absolutely think that he has every right to say that and every right to believe that. Of course, we shall see if that's how it turns out.
For 20 years, Barack Obama sat in his pew listening to his pastor.
And then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America.
Now, Beth Perdue and Richard Moore endorse Barack Obama. They should know better. He's just too extreme for North Carolina.
The North Carolina Republican Party sponsored this ad opposing Bev Perdue and Richard Moore for North Carolina governor.
That's the kind of ad you'd expect, wouldn't you? There's going to be a lot of that to come. That's that ad in North Carolina that's running. And what fascinates me about the whole thing is John McCain, at least in public, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but at least in public, he has said that he doesn't like that ad, and he asked them not to run it. Of course, they are still running it, so you know how much clout he has. That's an ugly, ugly ad. That's something you're going to hear a lot more of during the campaign, and worse, believe me.
What I hope is that they would listen to my views that it's not representative of the Republican Party and what we're trying to be.
Now, John, I would disagree with you on that. It may not be what you represent, but it is very representative of the Republican Party. Come on, John, admit it.
Maybe they would listen to what I have to say and recognize that that's certainly not the party of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is, John. I disagree. It is the party of not Abraham Lincoln, but it is the modern-day Republican Party, most certainly. So don't try and pull that one on us. You think they wouldn't? Come on, John. Come on, John. Don't you remember South Carolina? Don't you remember South Carolina in 2000? You remember the ads that ran against you by Republicans? By the current president of the United States? Do you not remember that, John? Do not tell me that that ad is not representative of the Republican Party, because you, John McCain, missed your chance to be president in the year 2000 because one of your fellow Republicans, a man that you've cozied up to and hugged in public, ran those kinds of ads, even worse, against you. So don't stand there and declare to the American public, don't declare to me and my listeners that that's not representative of the Republican Party. Does everybody remember Saxby Chambliss's ads? Hmm? Morphing a United States senator into Osama bin Laden? That's a Republican ad. Come on, John. Whose leg you pulling here? It's not working. Nobody believes that that isn't a good old-fashioned Republican ad. Nobody believes that it's not a good old Willie Horton-style ad. Nobody remembers that thinks that it's not a good old-fashioned fear ad. Come on. Please. Don't try that on us. McCain writes a letter to the RNC, North Carolina. Dear Chairman Davies, from the beginning of this election, I've been committed to running a respectful campaign based upon an honest debate about the great issues confronting America today. And you see, he has done that, I will agree. But his campaign against a Democratic opponent has not started yet. And just you wait. He goes on to say, I expect all state parties to do so as well. The television advertisement you're planning to air degrades our civics and distracts us from the very real differences we have with the Democrats. In the strongest terms, I implore you not to run this advertisement. Well, it's still running. He goes on to say, this ad does not live up to the very high standards we should hold ourselves to in this campaign. Well, we'll see, Johnny boy, if you hang on to that one. He said, we need to run a campaign that is worthy of the people we seek to serve. There is no doubt that we will draw sharp contrast with the Democrats on fundamental issues critical to the future course of our country. But we need not engage in political tactics that only seek to divide the American people. Once again, it is imperative that you withdraw this offensive advertisement, John McCain. Mm-hmm. So here's how it goes. You get a radical right-winger says something like this ad, writes a dirty piece in the newspaper, or puts a vicious ad on TV like this, and then next thing you know, the ad gets lots of coverage and lots of national attention, and then here we go, McCain comes out against it like he did today, and then you get your Chris Matthews and the other talking heads and the media shows saying what a great guy John McCain is.
Yeah.
They show that ad on TV. They show it over and over and over again on TV. And then they say what a great guy John McCain is. What an upstanding guy he is for telling them to stop. Did they stop? Did they stop? You tell me. If John McCain really wants that ad off of TV, if he really and truly wants that ad off of TV, you tell me. Really, he can't get him to stop? I don't believe it. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys. Sandra, how are you?
Hi, Sandra.
Hey, listen, I was just thinking, you know, the way McCain just dismissed, you know, everyone being paid the same. Now, what if some Democrat had came out with that comment? I mean, I'm just tying it back to the whole media thing. You know, you were interviewing that fair woman about the military thing,
mm-hmm.
which is an abomination. I read that article, and I was just sort of stupefied but not surprised. But for McCain to just dismiss equal pay for women like that, and it's not even a word. It's just kind of, oh, and they just move on. But if, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that is an outrage, and it just ties in with his misogyny because he called his woman a cunt. I'll say it because it's
yeah,
a disgusting word.
He did.
And it's just sort of like this just plays in with his whole dismissiveness of women and their issues. And then I think about these Republican women who will vote for him. I mean, it's talking about self-hating, you know, because he – you know what I mean? What woman would vote for this guy? And who don't want to get paid the same for the same work? I mean – that's not anything ideology, you know, it's no ideology behind that. I'm working, shit, I want to get paid.
I'll tell you who some women would vote for that. It'd be that church I was talking about yesterday or the day before where they had their billboard out front saying Obama, Osama, all the women that go to that church had voted unanimously to keep that those words on that sign. Every one of them will vote for John McCain.
Right, but you know the I think the cult of domesticity left after World War II, and so people are still trying to hang on to it, I guess. But I just am sort of, you know, we can't afford to. Well, I mean, most women I know, you have to work. So if you're going to go to work, you need to be paid the same at least. I mean, this is just sort of basic fairness. I know fair is a word that I guess doesn't play anymore, but I'm just sort of appalled that he would just say, oh no, too many lawsuits. So the hell what?
Yeah.
Every time a corporation has a problem, they sue on demand.
Rosie the Riveter would smack him right up beside the head.
Yeah, I know, but I just didn't like the whole sort of, oh no, we can't have it because of lawsuits. It's like,
yeah,
what are you talking about? What other redress do a citizen have except the court, right?
We don't, let's just tell it like it is. We don't want it because we're white guys that want to retain all the power and the money in this country, and you just stay the hell where you belong. That's
well, that. No, I'm sure that is the motivation, but what I find disturbing is just, you know, there is no outrage, and this man, you know, wallows around. Now he's, you know, trying to what? Go to poor neighborhoods or making speeches in New Orleans, bashing the Bush administration about Katrina. I mean, it's just a bad joke, and I'm sick to death of McNutt. So I think he, you know, I don't know why Obama said he's better than Bush, because he ain't. Remember that comment?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I just didn't understand what Obama was doing, but whatever, maybe he was tired. But McCain is Bush on steroids.
Exactly, exactly.
Tell, because Bush is sort of a bit like, yeah, whatever at this. You know what I mean? He's kind of pliable and just there. This fool would be real active. He know what the hell he's doing, and that's even scarier, you know?
Well, you know, after the war, like you mentioned, And Lillo on the chat room mentioned, wasn't Rosie the Riveter put back in front of the stove? No, not necessarily. My mother, that was the age. My mother went to work. A lot of mothers started to work, and throughout the 50s and the 60s, and now, like you said, it's absolutely imperative to most families that they have two incomes.
They wanted women to go back into the home, but the genie was out. Pandora's box is open. That's why the 50s was so crazy, because people weren't, you know, the image was really different from the realities, and then it just exploded into the 60s, you know. I mean, that's, you know, the 50s was a bit of a mirage in this country.
It was. It certainly was. Think of some of the, you know, the Ozzie and Harriet and all those things, the sleeping always in twin beds in the bedroom on the TV shows, and everything was, you're right.
I remember hearing stories, you know, women who got a little taste of their own independence, no matter what time in history it was, they want it, you know, don't care if it's the 1700 or whatever time women had access to some independence, they weren't saying, oh, please, please re-enslave me. Who would do that?
Wow, I mean, you know, those women, they get out there and they get to working and they get a paycheck and they start feeling independent. Next thing you know, they'll be buying that lipstick and makeup and they'll just be running wild, you know, them women. So we got to keep them home. You know, that's a damn insecure guy that feels like that.
No, but it's just beyond the beyonds at the Senate that those Republicans, I mean, these people, I can't even come up with the words to describe how this disgusting I am with them. You know, I'm taking the social history of America at the university I go to, and it's just stunning, Guy. Every movement throughout this country, it's always the same Republican conservatives that are putting roadblocks up to progress. Every damn movement.
Well,
it's the same mentality, and it just continues on. And these people are a blight. They are a blight.
Well, you know, it's like we always say, and you've heard the list. We can go over the things that the Democrats and the liberals and progressive have done for this country. Start telling me all the things. Now, give me the list of things that have given us progress and you know, good times in this country done by the Republicans.
They've done nothing but curtail. I mean, we would be so much further along. I'm sorry. You know, if we didn't have to battle these people all the time. And now they have control of the media. You know, God help us.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. I'm just like, I read that thing about the military, and it's, you know, I thought about, Solomon, what's his name? Norman Solomon?
Norman Solomon, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he does a really good job of sort of tying all this militarism and the war machine together. And, you know, I just shook my head reading it thinking, you know, we're, like, in serious trouble, and, you know, I don't think people really understand or even can even get up the energy to try to do something about it, but...
Well, we got to hang in there. We got to keep our finger in the dike. We got to do what we can, and maybe we'll prevail, just maybe.
Okay, well, have a good one.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Women. Calling in like that and saying stuff that them women ought to get that equal pay and stuff. Boy, the nerve of them women. Why? You know, it's true. People my age, and I don't count myself among them, but I know a hell of a lot of guys that are really, really threatened by the fact that women are out making a living, getting good jobs. I know guys that are resentful of the fact that they work with women and there's women and are make more money than they do in some cases if they've got a higher position. Just find it odd. I do find it odd. I understand that that's not the way it's been always, and some people have a hard time accepting it, but accept it, because that's life, and it's fair, and it's reasonable, and it's proper, and that's the way it ought to be. Just the way it ought to be. 866-546-5254. Yeah, Lilo says, and women all went and got uppity. Well, look, we let you smoke, we let you drink, we let you vote. We let you burn your bras. We didn't mind that at all. We let you do out and work and get the paycheck and all that kind of stuff. Now, come on. Enough is enough. You don't need to get that there extra pay. Uh-uh. Because me and my Republican friends, we just got to, you know. After all, it's them women we're talking about here. Yeah, by crecky. 866-546-5254. We'll be back.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
Got a good one going today here in the Guy James Show. Why not grab your phone and join us? 866-546-5254. Things are out of control. Women are drinking, smoking, getting paychecks, completely out of control. If you'd like to put a stop to all that, and if you'd like to keep these women from getting equal pay, you get a hold of John McCain. He'll help you out. He will help you out. Yes, sir. John McCain. You can all start wearing them there dresses like all those Mormon women out there. I noticed they did have Nikes on or something like that, but I figured they'd have old black high top shoes on with them and do your hair like that. If you're gonna hang around with the Republicans, that's what you need to do. You need to start wearing those dresses and get them black high top shoes and do your hair like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. If you're gonna be a Republican, I'll bet you 97.5% of those people voted Republican. Couldn't be beaten. No, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not. I'm having a good time here today. I hope you'll join me. I'm in a real good mood. I see the stock market finished up 85 points today. Oil went all the way down to $116 a barrel. And I believe gold really took a knock this afternoon. Let me see. Where did gold, for those of you that got a garage full of the stuff out there, where did gold finish up at? Let me see. Ooh, 889, went down 20 bucks. Whew. Ooh. Well, you don't know. Highly volatile right now. Highly volatile. I'm more worried about the price of food than I am about gold or the stock market right now. As I've mentioned many times this week, it does seem odd, doesn't it? Market's hanging up there real nice, and you think there's not a lot of manipulation going on in the stock market right now? We've got the biggest investment firms that are out hunting for cash, out gathering cash because they need it so bad to stay afloat. And yet the market's hanging right in there. Government's putting liquidity into the market all the time. Just rolling right along. Yes, sir. This little fat flap that we mentioned yesterday about Jimmy Carter going over and talking to Hamas, and we've got the State Department saying, well, you know, we can't be going over and talking to those people. And we spoke about this yesterday, and the State Department came back and said, well, we told Jimmy Carter not to do that. We asked him not to. Well, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter on Wednesday accused Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice of not telling the truth about warnings. She said her department gave Carter not to speak to Hamas before his Middle East trip. The State Department has said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State David Welsh, the top U.S. diplomat for the Middle East, issued the warning before Carter, a veteran of Middle East diplomacy, went on his trip last week. Rice said in Kuwait on Tuesday, "We counseled President Carter against going to the region and particularly against having contact with Hamas. President Carter has the greatest respect for Rice and believes her to be a truthful person. However, perhaps inadvertently, she is continuing to make a statement that is not true," a statement issued by the Carter Center in Atlanta said on Wednesday. He said, "No one in the State Department or any other department of the U.S. government ever asked him to refrain from his recent visit to the Middle East or even suggested that he not meet with Syrian President Bashar Assad or leaders of Hamas." It said Carter attempted to call Rice before making the trip, and a deputy returned his call. Since Rice was in Europe, they had a very pleasant discussion for about 15 minutes, during which he never made any of the negative or cautionary comments described. He never talked to anyone else, Carter's statement said. Carter had already on Monday, in an interview with National Public Radio, described as absolutely false any suggestion that he had been warned not to meet with Hamas. The United States is not going to deal with Hamas, and we certainly told President Carter that we did not think that meeting with Hamas was going to help the Palestinians, Rice said Tuesday, while attending a conference in Kuwait. Well, I give you the choice. Do you want to believe Jimmy Carter, or do you want to believe Condoleezza Rice? Is there any question who you're going to believe out of those two? Is there? any at all? You know, it's laughable. It really is. Knowing how they're looked upon these days, anybody in the Bush administration, it is laughable that they would think that anybody would believe them, take their word over that of Jimmy Carter. It's extremely odd that they would think that. Speaking of the Middle East, I see Iraq is expecting a big oil revenue windfall in 2008. They're pumping in their oil. It's not up to capacity yet. It's not near capacity, but with the price being what it is, Iraq could collect oil revenues as high as $70 billion in 2008. Imagine what they can do when they get up to capacity. Stuart Bowen, the Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction, pointed to Iraq revenues from exports reaching $5.83 billion last December. That's over double that from January of the same year. So they think it may be $60, even $70 billion this coming year. Wow. So hopefully they'll be able to take some of that money and reinvest it in their country, help rebuild the horrible damage that's been done there. It's obvious that the United States went in and tore the place up and isn't really planning on doing any significant rebuilding. As we've heard many times from people who are actually there, when we talk about the new hospitals that are being built, the new schools that are being built, most of the Iraqis say that all they did was throw some plywood on the old ones and paint them. That's mostly what we've been hearing. They haven't built anywhere near the number of clinics, hospitals, and schools that they originally said they were going to build. They've pretty much left the Iraqis to fend for themselves in many of these areas. And, you know, that, to me, let's think about that for a minute. We are selfish. All of us think about ourselves. We do. And we talk constantly about the cost of this war. And I'm guilty of it myself. I talk about it constantly, the price that America is paying for this Bush occupation of Iraq. But we don't talk nearly enough, and we mention the deaths, but we don't talk nearly enough about the misery, the horror that the Bush occupation has caused the people of Iraq. And we have many of our politicians say, well, you know, to hell with them. Let them rebuild their place. Let's get out and let's just screw them. Let them do what they're can do, you know? Well, we did tear the place up, or we contributed mightily to the damage that's been done with their infrastructure in many cases that we bombed, and it hasn't even been repaired yet in some of the electrical grids and sewage systems and water systems and hospitals and schools and so forth. So I'm not completely sure. In fact, I don't think at all that the onus should be completely on the Iraqis. We, and I don't know how many of you agree with me on this, but I think we do owe them the consideration of helping them rebuild their country. We broke it. And to be sure, there's been damage done by others as well. But we broke it. And we have a responsibility to help those people. It's tragic. For example, the immigration of displaced Iraqis not being allowed to come into this country. A handful. People that have had to get out, had to escape Iraq, had to escape the violence and the sectarian violence and all that's happened there. People with their children left and they can't come to the U.S. People that have worked with us over there can't come to the U.S. It's a shame. To be sure, it is a shame. I was surprised to see that John McCain, loving Bush the way he does, has dared to utter the R word. He said recession is here. We had Junior yesterday saying, no, it's just a slowdown. We don't have a recession. It's just a slowdown. That's all. Just a little slowdown. I mean, I understand you folks' groceries are out of sight and you can't afford to fill your tank with gas, and a lot of people are out of work and can't find a job for a couple of years, and their homes are being taken away and all that. But it's just a slowdown, you see. Well, John McCain, showing that maverick spirit that hasn't exactly endeared him to Junior Bush. It seems that's a one-way love affair. McCain conceded yesterday that the nation is in a recession. And for a few weeks now, Bush has claimed the economy is just going through this little slowdown, despite some massive evidence that it's a hell of a lot worse than that. But we have Johnny McBush here, probably angering some of the hardcore conservatives by saying that we're in a recession. He was in Kentucky yesterday on what he calls the, what does he call it? The Forgotten America Tour. He said, I have no doubt President Johnson was serious, and he had the best of intentions when he launched the Great Society program to eliminate poverty in the U.S. Well, McCain is more of a mindset that government can only do so much to pull Americans out of an economic rut. And he explained that Washington, and to quote him, can't pay lost wages. It can dig coal from the earth. It can't buy you a house. It can't dig coal from the earth. It can't buy you a house or send all your kids to college. It can't do your work for you. Well, I don't recall anybody asking to do your work for us. I don't think so. But he made it clear that he doesn't agree with the Bush administration depiction of this economic slowdown. He said, I believe we're in a recession. I believe the numbers indicate that. So, at least we've got that. The man does live in la-la land with a lot of his views, but he will admit that we are in a recession. Every time I see the Jebster, and I'm lovingly speaking of Jebster Bush, the Jebster, as I affectionately call him, I always know that he's going to say something just dandy, and he's done it again. Speaking to a group of business people out in Texas, Jeb Bush expressed his skepticism of global warming. Of course, he's keeping the Republican hard line there. The Orlando Sentinel reports, Bush said those who advocate action to limit climate change are acting out of something like religious zeal. He said, I don't think our policies should be based on emotion. They should be based on sound science. Well, Jeb, what the hell do you think this has been based on? You think Al Gore's got all the voodoo experts to come out and make this up about global warming? Do you think the overwhelming number of scientists that know about this in the world, do you think they've made this up? Do you think they have what do you think? Do you think the preeminent scientists in the world, the majority of them, the great majority of them, are just making this up out of whole cloth? Anyway, the Jebster goes on to say, rather than reducing oil consumption, the United States should focus on energy security. That's right. Hell, use all you want to. Use it by everybody. Everybody get one of those Humvees. Yeah. Don't reduce consumption. Focus on energy security, reducing dependence on oil imports from hostile and politically unstable countries. I guess, would you expect anything else from a member of the Bush Petroleum family? But the best part of the article comes at the end when Sentinel reporter, well, anyway, Jeb takes a swipe at the Florida alligators. Now, I'm a Floridian now for about a dozen years. And ugly as they may be, why, those gators are close to the hearts of Floridians. And so Bush told the Texas audience how he repeatedly vetoed spending state money to market alligator meat. He said, alligators proliferate in Florida. They eat small dogs, Bush said. We don't need to market them. We need to kill them. And after a slight pause, he says, is this open to the press? Yeah. Is this open to the press? Boy, you wonder how many times politicians have said that lately, now with this nonstop coverage they get no matter where they go. Well, wait a minute. Is it? I thought this was off the record. It's not off the record? I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I didn't mean that we ought to kill. No, I didn't mean that. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, Guy, this is Dave up in Humboldt, California. I don't know if you still remember me. I haven't called you in more than a month.
Let's see. Dave from Humboldt, California. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Really great, Guy. And still, as always, I love your show. I haven't been able to listen to you. I've been in a hospital.
No.
Well, and nothing really serious. They were doing, I think they were curious to find out what was causing my foot problems, and I was an academic scientific study for them, so I got tied up for a month and no access to a computer or anything.
Academic scientific study. Dave, that sounds too much like guinea pig.
Yeah, if you get something that they can learn from, then they get interested.
Okay.
Anyway, I am so favorably impressed with the VA. They do a lot of wonderful stuff. I know that some people won't agree with me at all, but I have been really fortunate with them. So.
Dave, the overwhelming majority of guys I have ever talked to have had nothing but good things to say. Understanding that they're busy and understanding that they're overwhelmed sometimes and all, but most guys say that, and I'm glad to hear you say it as well.
Well, they have had some very dedicated, conscientious, excellent physicians, and I'm favorably impressed. Anyway, the subject that I often like to get with you, because it's hard for most people, and I think sometimes even you, to comprehend the magnitude of the evil that is coming out of this administration.
Yeah.
I know. But everything about our involvement in the Middle East, everything, is shifting wealth out of our treasury, out of the grounds of Iraq and Afghanistan, into the pockets of this little PNAC, Carlyle group of, you know, Lockheed Martin and General Electric and ExxonMobil. They are pocketing wealth at a magnitude it's incomprehensible, and they want so much more. They just can't wait to get into Iran. These are some truly, truly evil people, guys.
They want it all. They want it all. And they will not be happy until they've subjugated every person in the country by virtually, as I've said, and I know you agree, making us slaves again. That's we want the serfs and the royalty again. That's what they want.
Yes, our government is in the hands of the worst kind of cold-hearted criminals. And I think many people, they can't believe that. They think, not my wonderful country. We're out there on the white horse bringing goodwill and freedom to the world. You know, we're setting an example of how righteous people should live, mostly good, wonderful Christian people. But reality is what is going on from this White House, this administration, is grab everything you can get and lie your butt off to anybody that's interested. And that's
absolutely
all.
It is, Dave. I agree. This isn't incompetence. I mean, some of it is, but it's cold, calculated greed. And mixed with a little incompetence, they're trying to grab it all. And yeah. You know, we mentioned that early on when they first came to power, that it was smash and grab. And they've certainly been doing a good job of it. You got to give them that.
Well, I'm going to guess you've got some listeners out there that so want to. And I guess you and I want to. We want to believe our wonderful country would never do such crazy nonsense is what is happening right now.
Well, I don't think we as a country would, but I certainly think some of our leaders would. And do I put it past? Well, no, I don't. These people would do anything. Hey, Dave, I got to run. We're up against the top of the hour. It's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're home from the hospital.
Thank you. Hope you're doing fine. I'm blocked out of the chat room, but I'm working on it.
We'll talk to you again soon, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Well, you've been listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. I've had a good time today. I hope you have as well. We'll be back with you again Tuesday with more. Thanks to Billy Shears. Thanks to everybody at Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.